Blog Talk Radio.
I'm gonna play the whole intro because it's like a minute, it's too long, and I have a lot of special guests today on the Independent Business News Network, and I want to get right to them. Some of you know I was on the Tom Bernard podcast on Wednesday at around noon, and Tom Bernard, I love listening to the KQRS morning show. It feels like I'm having a conversation with my friend. You know, if all our eyes were closed, I would be in that same place, that same space. And I agree with a lot of they say, and then the stuff that I disagree with, it's not that big of a deal because, you know, everyone has to have, you know, their own kind of purview of what's going on and what they see. And so, anyway, make a long story short, I was on the Tom Bernard podcast. It was set up by this lovely lady that you see here on Zoom, Miss Cassie. And she set it up, and I said, hey, you know, I have to have you on my show here on Wednesday at 7 p.m. And she said, yeah. So we actually have a celebrity, okay, from the Tom Bernard podcast, the first celebrity ever. No, I'm just kidding. We have a lot of celebrities here, but on our show, and I appreciate it. And Cassie, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Okay, and also on the line, not on Zoom, because Miss C.J. Jordan is going to work on her Zoom. We have Miss C.J. Jordan, political consultant and all-around knowledgeable person, and I appreciate you coming and joining us tonight, Miss C.J. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to join you all this evening.
Well, I appreciate it. We're live on Facebook Live, and we're also doing the Zoom thing, which is kind of fun sometimes. I'm just, you know, like I tell everybody, I have a face for radio. So I want to apologize in the beginning, okay, right here. Sorry for the mean, awful, accurate things I'm going to say tonight. I just want to do that early and get this out of here so no one gets all pissy with me or anything. But again, welcome to the Independent Business News Network. So let's start with Cassie. Let's get you in here right away. We've been talking, everybody's been talking about the George Floyd incident. There's been reactions by the Minneapolis City Council, the mayor, the governor, both mayors. One's a little bit quiet than the other one, and the other one really shouldn't say anything. I'll let you guess who I'm talking about. What is your overall? This is the first time ever in this radio station's 11-year history that we interviewed a white female. Let me put it like that.
And, white female.
And I don't want to make this like about race or gender or anything like that, but I'm kind of excited because it's a point of view that we've never had before. And so we have CJ on the line, which is a Black American woman, and I think we're going to balance everything out. So what is your perspective of what's happening now, this huge political system that's turning?
For one thing, I'm sad to see that this is turning political. I mean, it seems like for many years now, in politics, racism makes money. You know, this shouldn't have happened. But, like, today, there were some news stories coming out that the officer and George Floyd actually knew each other and didn't get along. So that adds to the narrative. So, I mean, whether race played a part in it, I'm sure it did. I don't know. It's weird to me in 2020 that we're still dealing with this.
Yeah.
And, I don't know what the solution is. I look back and just I'm kind of boggled by it because I'm like, how could this still be happening? I don't know what kind of pressures Minneapolis police officers are facing day to day, whether they need psychological therapy every 6 months. You know, I know if I was a police officer, I would probably need therapy quite often. But I don't know. Also, it seems to me too that the police force isn't really involved in the communities that they serve.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in the day, you had a cop walking the same beat over and over again, and the people in the neighborhood got to know the police officers and had a relationship with them. We don't have that, especially in Minneapolis when they're so short-staffed that the same officers aren't patrolling the same areas all the time. They're constantly in rotation.
Yes.
So that probably serves a problem. When it comes to politics, you know, it's kind of sad that they use these kind of incidences for their own gain. And it's sickening that this is happening. And I'm to the point where I don't know what would work.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree. And we're going to let some more people, sorry for my fingers there, but we're going to let some more people in here. They're chiming up. And I'm speaking to, I just like calling you Miss Cassie. That's just cool. Is that okay with
you? Oh, that's fine. Yeah, my mom's from the South. That's what they call me down there all the time.
Okay.
Everything.
And so we have a few people joining us right now. We also stand by Miss Pam there. Ms. C.J. Jordan, what is your view right now? Let me get your perspective before I bring Ms. Pam in. What are you thinking?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I am deeply concerned. When I started watching the George Floyd Memorial in Minneapolis, I was saddened, conflicted. But as soon as Al Sharpton made it, and then he made the funeral political in Houston, Texas, I was turned off. And I'm even more conflicted that I'm seeing white corporate CEOs establishing social justice money, right? We're dedicating $10 million to social justice. Well, I'm deeply concerned about that, because when we talk about social justice, that's not about economic justice for social responsibility. Social justice, to me, sounds like not just us, that a lot of other people's issues and concerns are going to co-opt what the black community is feeling and needing right now. And I have a problem with that.
Yeah, and I would have to agree with you on the majority of what you just said. And stand by again a minute. Our call in number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. If you want to call in on the Blog Talk Radio line and add something to the conversation, it'd be greatly appreciated. Joining us now, again, we have Ms. Cassie is getting off the hook in here. We have Miss Pam Jackson, Miss LaToya. How do you pronounce your last name, LaTanya? I said LaToya. I know it's LaTanya. Turn on your microphone. Quit playing. Okay, cool. Hey, Pam, how are you doing? What's going on out there these days?
Here. Hey, I'm going to tell you what's going on with us here.
Okay.
Can you hear me good?
I can hear you well, yes.
Oh, great. Thanks. Hey, cuz, how are you, Mr. Donnie Allen?
I'm okay, cousin.
We are, I see what's going on with you. We have actually started, this young man right here, Pierre.
Yeah.
Right here. We have started when they hear us. And what it is to be able to use to come in and speak their mind about what they're feeling.
Okay.
You know, because everybody's in motion, in the emotions right now. So we're trying to get people to understand there's another direction to go than what's happening here. This is our town. When I came back home to see this, I cried.
Mm-hmm.
This is my neighborhood I grew up in. And then when I got to White Castle and it wasn't open, oh, I really cried then.
Yeah.
You keeping it real. Because this is my hometown, and there's nothing, there's no landmarks here. There's no landmarks that I grew up on as a kid. All those landmarks, and that was heart-wrenching. So God put something in my heart, and I'm going to follow through.
Okay.
With, you know, I just have to do what he says. And in my...
You are breaking up a little.
Donnie was in it, please. And Wesley. And Donnie's going to answer that call and let y'all know. Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You were just breaking up a little bit,
can
but that's okay.
Now?
Yes, go ahead. This is not a commercial. We can hear you.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Yeah, we hear you. Come on.
Listen, I want you to listen to Pierre and let him tell you about what he's doing with his industry, okay, with this industry, because he's the man. So give me one.
Yeah, we'll give him a couple of minutes here. We have a bunch of people hanging out. And Cassie, I told you this is going to be fun, filled, and packed. And you can interject at any time. And people are trying to call me. No, you can't call me right now. Don't be calling me when I'm on the air live. What's wrong? Have you lost your mind? No, okay. That was me. Go ahead, young man. Pierre, what do you have to say? You're live on the Independent Businesses Network and Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, there it is right there. I see.
See, I'm going to tell you one thing. You guys need to figure out your technology, okay, number one. Go ahead.
How you doing? How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. Don't call me sir. I work for a living.
Works for a living?
Yeah, don't call me sir. Yeah, thank you.
Amen. Amen. My name is Pierre.
Yeah.
And the vision that we got on here is called When You Hear Us. And it was a vision that God put on my heart to create a space that allowed young people to be unfiltered in how they communicate what they're going through, what they're thinking, and their own plans for moving forward in light of what is happening.
Yeah.
So I love to think about it as an open mic that's open to the voices of young people, and it spotlights the voices of young people. Sometimes in these movements, the voice in the heart of the young people gets drowned out by everything else.
Yes.
This is a place we're not going to politicize their voice. We're not going to filter their voice or censor their voice. Hey, bring your truth, and we can deal with it. Bring your realities, and we're going to deal with it. Bring your heart, and we're going to deal with it. And I believe that this is just the beginning of something that's going to be great for this community to know that they have a place, they have a hub that they can come to, that they can actually be heard. To me, building a relationship with anybody begins with the conversation with that person. So.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. That sounds real good. Where is this hub located when you hear us?
Right now we are in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay. So if I got in my car and drove out into the street, I'd be in St. Paul, but I still don't know the location.
I mean,
if you want people to participate, they have to know where you are. Okay, that's all I'm saying. That's all I got. Okay, so I mean,
yeah.
If you move around, let us know you move around, but you got to keep us updated. So where are you now?
Right now we're at 1607.
Thank you.
University Avenue. We're right 1607 University Avenue, where we shoot and when we're filming and when we're That's the spot that we have to share to hold these conversations that we're having.
So you're actually filming this and documenting this stuff, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
Have you guys gotten in touch with the Minnesota Historical Society at all?
Not yet.
Okay. Just let me give you a little heads up. Let me throw a bone to you. Them and the Humanities Center both have money to assist you with what you're doing. That's one thing that a lot of people don't do in our community, and it's unfortunate, is look around. I mean, I look for money all the time. I want to play in the big pocket. But the thing is, they have online, you should go to the Humanities, Minnesota Humanities, and the Minnesota Historical Society, and tell them what you're doing, because this is a possible, look, have a vision for the future. This is a possible display in a historical society somewhere. You know, the riots of 2020, because of George Floyd. People are going to need a time capsule to go look back and see. Like today in the news, Mr. Edwards and I, like 4 or 5 years back, we reported about Mr. Smith, David Cornelius Smith, who was a member of the YMCA. He was downtown Minneapolis in the YMCA. He was playing basketball, and someone asked him, hey, can you change courts because they're going to do this or this? And he didn't do it. So a lady called the police on him. He ended up suffocated, tased, and choked to death by the Minneapolis police back in 2000, I think it was 14 or 15. His family had a $3 million settlement, okay? In that $3 million settlement was language that the police will have to go through some kind of training when they're talking about choking people. That was way back 5 or 6 years ago, and it's never happened. So, I mean, this stuff is important. It's important that you understand the history of how this is not the first time. I went through 11 years worth of archives of black men being murdered either by each other or by the police that Mr. Edwards and I talked about, and there's a lot of stuff going on here. There's a lot of moving pieces. thank you. Thank you for this, Pierre, for your information. I really appreciate it. Tell Pam I said hello. And I'll let her know when I'm on again. What's that?
Actually, too, I was going to say, I can get Pierre's contact info, I would love to get you on the Tom Bernard Show and to talk about your project that you're doing. And because I think it's important that, you know, as a state, we want to hear from the horse's mouth what you guys need. I don't want to hear it from politicians. We don't want to hear it from news people. We want to hear it from the people what you guys need in your communities. Everything gets skewed through media.
Yeah.
So I think it's awesome to have you on and talk about your project and if people want to contribute to it.
Yep.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm putting my email address in the chat right now.
Okay, you know
okay.
what? Send it to my cousin, and she'll send it to me too. That would be probably even quicker because once I turn this thing off, if I don't remember, you know, sometimes I have a bad memory. I can't remember what I'm trying to forget. Yeah. Okay, and so if you do that, and she'll send it to me, and I'll pass it along because this is good stuff, and we got to get you some real good exposure. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thank
All
you.
Right.
All right.
Thank
Out.
You.
Thank you. Latanya, you've been sitting up there quiet, and then we have to get back to CJ real quick. What's going on?
Today is – the last week has been kind of hard for me because I'm missing my Tina, my grandpa, like nothing and I'm reaching out to these people who took a stand and said that they would – and said under oath that – I would remain to have a relationship and be able to have visitation with my grandson.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to see my grandson.
Latanya, let me tell Kathy what's going on here. And I'm glad she's here because she's kind of a hunter and gatherer for information. This Miss Kathy up here in the upper left, right-hand corner here. Latanya has been going through some changes with the Child Protection Service, the court, in regards to her grandson for years, right? And they've been doing some really crazy, crazy things. And she's one person. I saw her on Facebook. I friended her because she kept posting all this stuff, these court papers. And I'm like, this is serious. When someone starts doing that on social media, there's something going on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading into it and reading stuff she was posting. And the state, the policies, the statutes, under that child protection, adoption, that whole thing are screwed up bad, okay, for a lot of folks, especially Latanya. And I hear her hollering out, but I don't hear any elected officials really talking back to her. Has there been anybody doing anything, Latanya, on your behalf?
You know, they all put on a really good show. Like I said before, a couple of them stood beside me and help wipe my tears away. But when it comes down to it, everybody is pointing their finger at somebody else, saying that somebody else's responsibility to make sure that these counties are following the state statutes and laws and guidelines.
Yeah.
So Rena Moran, I was standing with her. Jeff Hayden, I was standing with him.
Senator Hayden, yeah.
Yep, and they're working on the African American Family Preservation Act.
Oh.
So
wow! That's a lot. That's a lot. And so I'm glad that you decided to come on because I know last time you didn't even turn on your camera. I think you was mad at me or something. I don't know. Like you just figured.
I'm having a bad hair day.
Okay. Well, hey. Me too. Yeah. No. But the thing is, is that Wes Smooth? Is that Mr. Westmoot? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be distracted. But the thing is, you know, when Kathy invited me to Tom Bernard podcast, and, you know, I'm glad she came on this show, not only is it for me, because I know there's a lot of people that call in, a lot of people that show up on Zoom during this Wednesday night show, not Saturday show, and there's things going on that never will reach it to the mainstream media. Like Kathy, this morning, just now you mentioned about that this Chauvin might have known Floyd, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just made it to the Star and Tribune. Whereas the day that Floyd was killed within the community, that whisper campaign, that's what people were talking about the first day. Oh, the dude that worked with him at the Hispanic Latino restaurant and dance club is the one that killed, and everybody knew it. The Star and Tribune, I'm sure, knew it, but they're too busy sitting at their desk looking at Facebook feeds and seeing what kind of news they, but they knew it a long time ago, and I was wondering why they waited till today, and this was common knowledge way back.
I don't know, because when the whole George Floyd thing first broke, I think it was the next day, they did mention that they worked at a nightclub together, security, but they worked opposite shifts, and they really didn't know each other.
Yes.
Now it comes out that they did know each other, and they actually had a, you know, they didn't care for one another.
Yeah.
Why, we don't know. I mean, obviously, they just, I guess it was a working relationship where one didn't like how the other one was doing security type of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why did they wait? You know, like I said, it adds to the narrative of what actually went down. I mean, obviously the officer is the only one that can really say why he did what he did.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, and I'm sure, like I said, a race probably did play a part in it, but, you know, it could have been more, he just didn't like the guy because they just didn't get along or something to that effect. I don't know.
Yeah, well, there's some rumors, and these are rumors in the community that they might have liked the same woman at some point.
Oh.
And, you know, that right there is a trigger for a lot of folks. And so, you know, that's a possibility. But, yeah, like you said, we don't know. We can't get into Chauvin's head or anything like that at this point, but we're going to have to figure out here. I mean, they're going to have to figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
CJ, I'm sorry. I don't mean to keep you there, and I'm not ignoring you. You can chime in.
Not a problem.
Go ahead. Well, I want you to interject. Go ahead.
You know, I think I want to back the train up just a little bit and stomp on the brakes. One, I think your prior caller talked about the foster care system and her trying to get information on her grandchild.
Yes.
If you go back several months, actually a year ago, particularly whether you like this president or not, black conservatives ringing the alarm bell ever since the president talked about shutting down the border for those who are undocumented, and saying, why are we not documenting and paying attention to the numerous black and minority kids, but particularly black kids who are lost in the foster care system? And we need to figure out how should this particular topic be brought to the forefront, because there's a lot of black children that are lost in foster care systems, and grandparents who are trying to locate their children. We understand that their children make mistakes, but it does not mean that the grandparents should not be able to be provided information and try to gain custody or temporary custody of that child. And so if we're going to talk about economic justice and moving things forward, and we're talking about law enforcement, most people don't realize the foster care system is part of the justice system, because it is the court system that, you know, delegates where that child goes. The child gets picked up, whether it's an arrest or a raid or child neglect. We must have that conversation as well. The second thing, when we talk about George Floyd knowing the other person, you know, him and the young gentleman who's in jail now for second-degree murder, I still don't want us to get too far ahead, because at the end of the day, when you talk about first-degree murder, it has to be premeditated. So even though they might have had a beef, he didn't know until he got there and rolled up on him that it was George Floyd. The thing that went on the radio, it was a black male, two black males sitting, you know, in a vehicle. The store owner didn't say, hey, it's George Floyd. You know, we want to make sure that we want to, you know, kind of not get the community riled up on the fact that, hey, they had a work beef going together. And, yeah, they might have had a temper flare, but he didn't go out and say, hey, I'm looking for George Floyd today to, you know, to do X. Now, once he started with George, that's a whole different type of a conversation that will play out in court.
Yes. And that's where it's going to have to play out, because, like Cassie said, we don't know and you, what's in or what was in the mind of Mr. Derek there when he decided to do that. You know, I watched the last few minutes of that tape again. I've only watched it three times. I can't watch it, hardly watch it, finish it. And it took me a few days to even watch the whole thing, and I didn't watch it stay straight through. Because when I stopped it in the middle, excuse me, I should have brought some water down. When I stopped it in the middle, I went right to the police training kind of manual thing, and where it has the statutes for, you know, restraints, choking, and things like that. And what he did was not in there anywhere. And that really troubled
me. No, he checked
me.
Out.
Then I looked at his face. I looked at the guy, the officer's face. I blew the screen up and just looked at him after George Floyd was dead. I'm not a doctor, but the dude didn't move. He didn't even wiggle. He was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And how he still sat there on or would need him and did not move. And just, he had this look like, uh-oh, I messed up, but I have to hold my ground, you know? Because what could have happened in that particular neighborhood on 38th in Chicago, we could have been hearing a whole different story if the right people were in the right cars watching that at the right time. That's all I'm going to say. I used to live over there on 37th in Portland. Okay? I know what could have happened, and it could have, a lot more people could have got killed. But just to watch that tape is disturbing, but also to watch some of the stuff that's going on in the mainstream media and some of the local cable networks, you know, what they're doing to get people excited and riled up, and how the city of Minneapolis kind of CJ, let me ask you this real quick. I know that you heard that the city council passed unanimously to ban choking.
Yes, I did.
Did you hear that?
Okay. Yes, I did.
Okay, now, let me just explain kind of how they did this. It's kind of funny because when they're talking about choking, basically they're talking about their hand, you know? I'm using the camera, yeah, the hand. My monster mitt. Anyway, and not necessarily the knee, but there's some different names for it, and it's really strange. They don't really have the power to stop the police from doing that. Even if they pass a resolution or whatever the hell it was, it's all boutique. It's cosmetic. And like I said earlier here, when David Cornelius Smith was strangled and tased and killed on the sixth floor of the YMCA many years ago, that $3 million settlement to his family lifted. You know, you got to have some training on, you guys got to stop choking people, bottom line, basically what it said. And I don't think they followed through, which would be a tort interruption or tort interference with a contract. And that David Cornelius Smith family, you know, you hate to say it, could go that back and get some more money, considering they gave, you know, some folks $20 million, $15 million, et cetera. So, Kathy, what do you think about this stuff so far? What's going on?
Go ahead, Kathy, and then I'll chime in. Go ahead, Kathy, and then I'll come back. Go ahead, Kathy.
Kathy, go ahead and then CJ's the rebuttal.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, like, obviously they have to have some type of reform and like, what they, you know, some type of procedure for restraining. Now, from what I've been told and looked up, if you need to restrain somebody that is on their stomach, you're supposed to put the knee on their back, like their shoulder blade, to keep their arm down so you can handcuff them. It's nowhere should it be near the neck area. Now, I granted, you know, and George Floyd did not do this. He wasn't really restraining at all.
No.
I mean, if you have somebody restraining, obviously it's harder to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have to have some type of, you know, something that's across the board the same with all departments.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, this department over here does it this way. This department over here does it that way. It's like, okay, what city do I want to get arrested in? Because, you know what I mean? It's just like there has to be some type of guideline, and they have to stick to that guideline. Now, whether they need to bring in more experts to help the police force to deal with arresting people and restraining people properly, then do it. I mean, put the money towards that, and that way these cops are trained properly.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they go through for training. I haven't. I don't. All I know is police officers that went through training like 20 years ago, and things changed too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, things have changed 20 years ago, and you still have the same cops. They need to go through those classes as well to get updated on new stuff. And I don't know if they do that.
Yeah.
They're not
too scary. Yep. CJ, go ahead.
Well, here's the thing that 2018 Noble, your police chief is part of Noble, the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Officers. Other civil rights groups. We're advocating for a national commission for law enforcement to address these pieces. And in the meeting that the president had with law enforcement attorney generals, they commended the president that for years they have been asking for this. And the president stood this up and 2019 in December, and that commission is supposed to be looking at data and uniform standards, which is totally different than 21st century police tactics under the prior administration. This was data collection, and how do we go forward with training and uniform guidelines, because there was an issue with data collection. So he took the hard job in doing it. So their first piece, and, you know, that task force, that commission will be meeting later on this month. So I encourage those organizations in Minneapolis to begin to look up that information, find out how you can provide information to that commission, because it's going to be looking at national uniform standards around training, because that is uniquely important. Every law enforcement office does not do the same thing when it comes to training and tactics. They have, and so, and we have to look at budget. When we're talking about community policing, what does that look like in the 21st century than what it was in 1970? Yes, we want more police athletic leagues, but we want it to be more than just playing sports. We want it to be more than just doing cookouts. What does it look like going forward? And I want what I call my woke Caucasian sisters on the left to not, you know, lump all law enforcement in one bunch of boroughs. As we know, every organization has bad actors. Universities have bad actors. We, you know what I'm saying? You know.
Mm-hmm.
Starbucks has bad actors. Shoe store has bad actors. Walmart has bad actors. So
yeah,
that's the nature of Hollywood got bad actors. Nature of employment.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm hoping that the listeners will take advantage of how does my local organization testify at the upcoming you know, commission hearing and provide input, being that you all are the city where things started, where things happened, and this ability to say, hey, we're going to do this, not a photo op, but we want to do this visual piece that, hey, we're going to strip police of all their power and defund them. Actuality is truly not going to happen because you're already dealing with wait times in the first place in the inner city. So we need to create a much larger budget. I say we have this long-term history about the gas tax. Okay, we don't want to touch it. Then we always, states always do a temporary 1 cent sales tax, right? Raise, you know, to get to their general operating fund. Personalize the pay for police officers versus $30,000, and where they're working overtime every place trying to make up that loss of income. So it's a lot of things that we need to look at, and I hope that you all be able to provide that information, working with the administration on this task force that will have hearings in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow, that's a lot. You know, it's really funny, CJ and Kathy and Latanya. I don't mean to say funny, but what's happening here is you said something very interesting. You said you want them to get the youth together, but you don't want them, you know, not necessarily focusing on sports and a big party or something like that. You know, to that, you said something to that effect. It's really funny. Now that I think about it, all the special groups in a lot of the schools that I've experienced, let me just put it that I've experienced, when they talk to the black kids or these kids or this marginalized group of kids, it's a pizza party or we're going to go have a motivational talk and we're going to go play basketball for an hour or two. It's never anything like, okay, here's what's going to happen. We're going to teach you how to balance a checkbook, how to start saving. If you save $10 a day, you know, or put all your pocket change in one of those big 5-gallon water jugs every day, when Christmas comes, you can buy the whole family gifts, okay, if they're not Kardashian. So I'm always wondering and pushing the envelope and asking folks, I'm saying, where is this piece? Because we have kids really, really, really high up, and then we have kids really, really low, and we have none in the middle. And then when you look at the community, you turn and look at the community, you know, there's a few stratified black folks that are way up there making money hand over fist, you know, in corporate and the nonprofit. We see more of the nonprofit people than we do the corporate people. And you have a lower one-third of the community that is not tech savvy. They're not, and it's no fault of their own. You know, I mean, there are some, you know, conservative talking points that say, hey, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do this or do that. Well, if someone has cut your bootstraps because of what or who you look like, you know, or where you live, then there's not much you can do. And I always look at that and say, how can we correct this? How can we adjust this system? Like Latanya, I got to send you an address. There's a meeting tomorrow. I don't know if you can make it. It's from 12 to 1. I've had two calls by two senators. Actually, two senators, someone running for Hennepin County Commissioner. And I went to the first meeting, which was on a Monday. Yeah, on a Monday. I go in and sit down. And this guy, I'm not going to tell you his name. He says, I'm running for Hennepin County Commissioner. He works for Jeff Johnson, if you can't figure it out. And he says, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what direction we should turn. And these are Republicans, right? And they have a group of black and white men in the room that are conservative. You know, ones that I never knew. The brothers, I thought they were all Democrats. And it doesn't matter. We're just in the room together. And I'm talking, I'm saying, hey, you know, how I don't want to talk about racism anymore because that hasn't made us any money. You get people feel, I don't care if I can make people uncomfortable without talking about racism. I have no problem with that. But I want to talk about how we can plug into G, the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, how we can plug into the MnDOT. Back in October 2013, MnDOT received $63 million. And the reason why I say October 2013, because it's so long ago, number one, but I say it because I got disgusted looking at every report each year after that I don't even care no more. I'm going to start where I started. Anyway, $63 million. They give like $700, not even $1,000 to one black contractor. And everyone else was asked out. You got nothing. Asians, Hispanic, Latinos. That's the way they have to break it down for the federal MnDOT. Okay, they ask you how, and they signed off on it like it was good. Kind of like how we sign off on grade being in 20%, being in 20% now. Oh, they went up from 21 to 23. Yeah, but 70% is passing, right? Unless they change something that I didn't know about. So there's some huge issues. Tomorrow, there's a meeting. It's in North Minneapolis. If anybody's interested, inbox me. But it's with some high-end GOP elected senators and state representatives that want to find out, you know, what we want. What does the black community need? What does the Hispanic Latino community need to move forward? What is the new normal going to look like? And,
Donna,
go ahead.
I just wanted to interject real quick. One of the big problems, I think, in Minneapolis is the public schools. So
right.
In Minneapolis, are the schools funded by property tax like they are in the suburbs?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Minneapolis, St. Paul, all over. Yep.
Okay, so if you have a lot of low-income housing, how does that affect the property tax and how much that money is being allocated to the school?
That affects it in a minus way instead of a plus
mm-hmm.
way. Because if you have all this, I remember the Olson Highway, Highway 55 projects over there.
Mm-hmm.
That whole area, I don't think anybody paid rent out of their pocket. Thousands of people lived over there. Mother Breedlove used to babysit myself, my brother, and sister when we were little in those projects over
mm-hmm.
there. The Hennepin County and the city said, okay, we're not making any money, you know. And they put in these high-end houses over there. They remodeled the whole area, put in nice community centers.
I think John froze up.
No, I'm right here.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Oh, no.
Anyway, go ahead.
I didn't see I don't know. Am I still frozen? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Don.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Zoom, but it says that my people's froze. I'm frozen up. I'm not frozen, and I might have lost them. But that's okay. You're here. We're going to keep going and figure
right.
out what's
so
going.
Can you hear me, Don?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly.
Right. So here's the thing that has, and I'm putting on my hat from the, you know, being at the Department of Commerce. So it goes back to, you know, sitting in that room and you're going to be talking to those business owners going into the room and saying, here are the opportunity investment zones that have taken place that have been hit by those riots. What we want to be able to do from a P3 standpoint, we want to make sure that the state money that's coming in from the federal to the state, particularly through, you know, the economic development corporations, because they have it from a regional perspective, and the city or commission has what they call their regional economic development authority. We have to come together with a plan, and now is the time to galvanize those business individuals, entrepreneurs, and saying, what do we want our community to look like going forward? How do we come in and say, how can we tap this? Because what most people don't know, the Economic Development Authority not just grants, it also lends money at low interest rates based on T-bills. So their loans that they do is backed by the government, but it's less interest than a regular bank. So I'm challenging folks to become knowledgeable about economic development and understanding the opportunity investment zones, because that's how you're going to rebuild. I know some of the manufacturing is looking to move out, but we have to have that knowledge of how the system works in order to talk about economic justice that leads you to social responsibility. Because you just, you know, when they say, "What do you want?" You want your businesses there. You want capital to come back to those black-owned businesses. You want the CEO of the Minnesota Vikings or Target to say, wait a minute, you know, if you're going to rebuild your stores and open them up, we want this fund for social justice. We're going to get jobs at Target. We want this fund where you can put it over into this investment bank or so that we can now build our own affordable housing or townhouse community that's affordable. And we don't want it to be by Mike Jacobs or, you know, Barry. We want it to be owned by Daquan.
I have to interject, and I have to play the devil's advocate, okay? And I'm not trying to be an ass or anything like that, but just, and we're on the second video. the internet over here where I live in St. Paul is tacky, and we pay top dollar. And I have to go to cellular data, which I have unlimited, not really though, and to make this happen again. But we just got rid of them. It just canceled everybody. Oh my God. Okay, let's see if we can get back on.
Well, why are you
go
so,
ahead.
Yes, the internet is crappy, but again,
hey.
There is a broadband infrastructure bill going through. Part of that can be through economic development, and part of that could be where those young entrepreneurs who are tech savvy can come in and build through the economic development corporation that you have there, can come through and say, how can we build our own internet Wi-Fi capability in that? So you don't necessarily have to wait for AT&T. I mean, you have
mm-hmm.
some Native American communities that have their own internet company. Begin
yeah.
to look at how you can force broadband development in that area and bring a group of tech guys together and saying, okay, who wants to be able to own this so that we can advocate to make sure that you all get the money versus somebody else.
Yeah, but CJ, here goes the challenge that I have with that. There are people in Minneapolis and St. Paul that other people feel very comfortable doing business with. It wouldn't be me or you or a couple other folks. They wouldn't feel comfortable with us. And so for years, decades, here in Minneapolis, these people have been given an open checkbook or purse to do everything that you just said. They're going to be given an open purse again to do everything you just said. And I'm just wondering this time if we are to have our own internet. Not that we need it, but it would be nice to have a black-owned internet ISP company. You know, it would be nice to have, some things that are minority ethnic based that we own that are about something that are happening. And, like the bank on Broadway Avenue. There's supposed to be a bank, a black bank opened up. And then when everybody found out that the woman who was the sister that was running the bank was dating the guy that was kind of the controller of the bank, what happened was money was not accounted for. Procedures were not, hey, Kathy, I'm so sorry. This isn't a professional show. This is like, you know, I mean, it's a professional show, but the internet's not professional. Let's just put it like that. And I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Kathy?
Well,
I can't hear you. Go ahead.
Well, when Kathy jumps in, I'll shut up while you're working and get her back on. But here's the challenge that I say to you. So even if the black bank wasn't what you needed to be, the question now becomes, where does, the church fit in? Where do other clubs come in to where you can have a church credit union to where that credit union stands in a gap? And I'm not necessarily advocating for community development financial institutions, CDFIs, because some of those CDFIs are not owned by, black individuals to be able to invest in the black community. They are owned by other minority groups, which is nothing wrong with that. But we want to look to see if there is a black credit union. If it's not there, then how does the community come together to establish and get the charter for a black credit union to do business in that community? And it now is time to recalibrate how we go and do our deposit, how we do our banking. And you talked earlier about financial literacy. Most people don't know that Secretary Mnuchin, did a secretary memorandum saying, look, financial literacy needs to be taught and mandatory in college curriculum. Well, Secretary DeVos said it needs to be taught in all schools. And I agree with you, Secretary Mnuchin, but being that we don't control the local school boards, we have to have folks like you to put people on notice who are on school boards, who is the president of school boards, and say, wait a minute, you guys are responsible for the curriculum. Why aren't you teaching this? It's about chess and checkers. We all know how to play checkers, but there's only a few of us that know how to play chess. So, yeah, it's nice to bring you some pizza and take you out on the basketball court, but I'm like, when you going to, you know, I don't want to go learn how to roll dice and shoot crap. I want to know how to make a chess move. And so it's about critical thinking.
You're absolutely right. CJ, I apologize. LaTanya, I apologize. It's over here, you know, both my wife and my wife's professor, she works every day and with her, whatever she does. And then I'm on this computer, and we got the best Wi-Fi that we possibly could from Xfinity, and it's actually not the best Wi-Fi. And it's really rubbing me the wrong way because you know, we drop calls, and now I have to use. Now I know better and know what to do. But this is like the second week that it's happened. I apologize to both of you. I try to be a professional at least once a week on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. Sometimes that always doesn't work out. But we're just talking about what we were talking about. And if I can capitalize this, CJ, is that there are people on the other side of the bridge that say, you know, black people, they don't need that. You shouldn't do that. Why do they need a whole 28 days in February? Why? And I love talking to those kind of people because I don't get angry. I just say, hey, sit down. Let's have some coffee. Let's break this down. And usually by the time I'm done, if they don't agree with me 100%, they're at least agreeing with me 80%, and we're going to go back and check what I've been thinking, you know? And you don't have to agree with me all the way. They listen, you know? And so,
Here's the thing. Here's this perfect time. I love Black history. I love when February rolls around. You know, I appreciate the African Americans that said, look, if y'all not going to teach it year-round, give us, you know, February, and we'll take that. I don't harbor any ill will or ill thought in reference to that. But I think now, as we come to move ourselves forward, I think now is the time for us as black parents, as black educators, those who, you know, have advocated for choice in the educational movement, for opportunity scholarships so that our children can go wherever they need to go, whether it's HBCUs, private, you know, charter schools, however you want it. We need to now show up at the school board meetings. We need, and the reason, because they also are the ones who deal with content and what's being taught. You know, if we're going to talk about the Renaissance movement, don't we want to talk about Langston Hughes? If we're going to talk about, right, but we often, Langston gets dropped off and he gets picked up during Black History Month. So we need to kind of think about what is the content in our books. Content is king. And we can't allow this time, this moment, for everybody else's issues to get hijacked the topic of the day. And the topic of the day is not about social justice. We done had jobs and we've been doing social justice for 50 years and our cities are still broke. We're still being undereducated and undervalued.
Yeah.
So let's recalibrate the thought process and asking when we, you know, and I don't know if folks know Ken Blackwell. And the reason I say this is Ken Blackwell became the first black treasurer in the state of Ohio. And the first thing he established was a blue ribbon commission because Merlin Ellen Withrow, who became the treasurer for the Clinton administration at that time, the Democratic opponent kept saying, oh, we're 13% of employment in the treasurer's office, and we do all of this. Well, when Ken did a bipartisan blue ribbon commission, he found out that the 13% of black folks were all clerks, cashiers, you know. And we had but one person in leadership in the office that she had on her floor, on the seventh floor, and that person was not even in a decision-making position to empower African-American opportunity in the treasurer's office. So when Ken came in, his bondage, his head trader was black. He had seven African-Americans there. And the one thing that Ken Blackwell did, he said, look, to every bank in Ohio, if you're coming to see me to talk about how we are depositing Ohio tax dollars in your institution, I hope you come in with somebody to look with my general counsel. Because if you ain't got nobody, mm-hmm. you better go. And that was the highest time that African Americans were hired in senior level positions in banking. So we must have a really conversation about economic justice. So as these doors opening up, we want to be able to have a conversation about diverse supply chains. We want to look at the banks there locally to see how many brothers and sisters are in level of management. We want to kind of look at, no, just don't write a check. Give me, you know, $300 for the program booklet. We appreciate that. Or $100 to buy some hot dogs. I want to know if you are an SBA lender and are you giving me SBA loans for my black-owned businesses? Those are conversations that we need to have for structural change to go forward, that if we're out here taking the streets for George Floyd and moving the conversation and moving the needle, we have to say to the Democratic Party, look, we don't want social change. We want economic justice. And we want to say to the Republicans, hey, this is your opportunity time where we might not have invited you to the community all along. We weren't really aware. Mm-hmm. You didn't necessarily have. But we want you to come on over because, you know what, until we get a new system, you all are, both of y'all are what we got. And we have to demand different things. And we have to ask for different things. So Democrats have been there all along. And then invite the Republicans to come and say, how can you help me do this?
You know, exactly. I agree
100%. And if it's a Libertarian, if it's a Green Party, do the same.
A little bit of a delay there. CJ, we have less than 2 minutes left, and I want to make sure Cassie lets everybody know how they can locate her, the Tom and Our podcast, the morning show, and all that other good stuff. And I appreciate you calling in and updating us. And CJ, can you? We want to come back next week, and let's get into that economic a little bit more. Cassie, glad you could be here. I'm sorry, the technical stuff, but can you kind of, you know, whatever you'd like to say, you're closing it out. Okay. I can't hear you. Can't hear you. There you go. Still can't hear you. That's okay, because I will help them. Cassie? That's okay. We're all having technical difficulties. While she figures that out, I'm saying thank you. Thank you, LaTanya. Thank you, Pam Jackson. Thank you, Ms. CJ Jordan, for calling in tonight and being with us. It's been a fun show, and we'll have Cassie back on later after the elections and all that other stuff. Maybe before then, though, when it starts getting hot, like in July and August, we'll see what's going on. And tune in. I'm not on every day, but you can listen to Tom Bernard show and the podcast. The show is on from like 5 to 10, Monday through Friday, if I'm not mistaken. And the podcast app, you download it. It's free. It goes on your phone. And you should listen to this guy when he's talking. He went to North High School. He has all these commercials. I mean, I used to listen. I was amazed at where I heard Mr. Bernard's voice. And he's a good guy. He's got a good heart. He's one of them Northside brothers. Just, and we were born on the same day. We were separated, though. That's the story I'm going with from now on. He's my brother, but we were separated. 10 years apart, and I'm going to tell you who the youngest is. But that's happened. LaTanya, again, thank you. And we appreciate it. CJ, thank you. And we're going to close out today with what we normally close out with, because last time we closed out with Prince.
Put your back.
And I got a band from 50 Grand. So, but anyway. But anyway, here we go. We're close.
What's your bad stuff? Bad now.